It is a tremendous joy to be here with you all. And how can I say this at the very beginning? I'm not just here to be here. I'm not just here to do a little sermon thing and then we all kind of go in our merry way. I would rather not say a word if that's why I was here. I am here trusting that by God's grace I will be His vessel to bring His Word to you so that, now please listen, I mean this with all my heart, so that you will do something with what God says. Otherwise, why do it? Do you all agree with me on that? I really, really want God's grace to work in your heart and my heart in such a way today that we will get His heart and it will cause us to want to go out those doors and do something. Amen. Before I get started, I am certainly, if not the happiest, one of the happiest men on earth, and certainly it has to do with my salvation, but it also has to do with God giving me the most incredible woman as a wife. Just 6 weeks ago. Linda, stand up, please. She's my wife. And for giving us together 15 children, 9 of which are at home right now, and I'd like all my children to stand, please. Now, we're going to be talking about the mission this morning and the mission that God's given us, and it is a great joy for me to think and have a picture in my mind of the 11 of us descending on Baltimore Inner Harbor together to go and preach the gospel together. Maybe I'll tell you a story or two about that. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I would like you, unless it's just an aversion to you, or if you're allergic to taking notes today, don't do it. But if you're not allergic to it, I would like you to think of writing some things down, because I believe they would be that God would have every one of us be able to take a to-do list from what we do today.
I've got paper.
Good. Okay, and while your hands are raised and that's going on, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'd like to start with you at verse 9. Now, I'm reading from the Authorized Version, the New King James Version of the Bible. I'm teasing you, but that's what I'm reading from. And so you might have a different version. That's okay. It's going to be very close, I'm sure. why don't you stand with me as we read the Word of God together? The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians in his second letter to them, says this: "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." And move ahead to verse 14. He says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of
reconciliation.
Now then, We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, we beg you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Lord, I cry out to you for my friends here, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I also cry out to you for those in this room who right now are not in Christ. Maybe some who think they are, but they're not. Others who know they're not and need to be. I pray for them. God, I pray. Holy Spirit, that you would come down and you would turn hearts and you would open eyes and you would cause, through this passage of Scripture, reality and truth to break in on every heart. And I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that the reality and urgency of the hour would strike at the very center of our hearts to see what's really going on and awaken us and alert us and put us on watch and put us on red alert and put us on duty to that call that you have given us of ambassadorship for Jesus Christ. Let it be. We need you, Spirit of God. We need you. And I pray that you would come by your power in your holy name. Amen. Please have a seat. I want to look at this passage today, and I want to consider several things. First of all, I want to just give an overview, but then I want us to understand that there is a motivation in this passage. There are several kinds of ways that God wants to motivate us, and then there's a call to action. We need both motivation and we need action. Is that right? Okay, so first of all, this is an incredible passage. I want you to note the passion in the Apostle Paul's words. Now, I say the Apostle Paul's words, whose words are they? They're the Holy Spirit's words. And God, the Holy Spirit, is working through Paul and speaking through him. Look at some of these words. The love of Christ compels us. Listen to the action words. Persuading men, imploring, pleading, reconciling. In these verses, we find the heart of God throbbing and pulsating. Everybody say throbbing and pulsating. It's pulsating and throbbing with a fire that God wants to burn in you and me. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is setting forth a clear call. And it's a call not only to action, but to heart orientation. How many of you here have difficulty sometimes with your heart orientation? How many of you find that your hearts are colder than you would like them to be? I do too. I need my heart to be stirred up. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Lord, here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for your courts above. We need God to minister to our heart orientation. And that's what's going on in this passage. He makes it clear that there are compelling passions of the heart that lead to action. Have you ever get frustrated with your lack of action for God? Your lack of action for the gospel? Am I the only one that does? Knowing, listen to these phrases that stir us. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. Do you know the terror of the Lord? Is that something you think about, the terror? Well, I like to think about the love of God. I do too. But do you think about the terror of the Lord? The love of Christ compels us as though God were pleading through us. And all these are signs of an inward move of the Spirit resulting in a passion that leads to action. In other words, this, given the amazing love of God for sinners and for me, given that, and given the mission of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, this last song we sang, send me, isn't that what we sang? Send me. This mission to draw sinners to the Savior, how can we do anything but be involved in this ministry laid out in this passage, which is a ministry of begging men. Begging men. It's a ministry, it's an incredible ministry of begging. Talk about a good self-image. How about the self-image of a beggar? That's what we are. You and I, if we are true Christians, we're beggars. We're called to be beggars. Beggars of men and women and children to come to Christ. Well, so, we have a mission. We have a mission. And our mission isn't just to sit in the pew and get fed and read our Bibles and pray and try to be nice Christians. That is not the mission. The mission is to go. Yes? Do you mind if I'm direct with you today? I want to be direct because God's Word is direct. And the Christian church overall is floundering. What percentage of Christians are actively sharing their faith in the United States of America? 2%. 2%. We were saved into a mission. And so today and Saturday, this coming Saturday, is Evangelism Training Seminar from 9 to 1. We'll have lunch here. And then anybody that wants to go with us, we're going to go. Instead of just singing, send me, we're going to go. We're going to test the sincerity of our heart. We're going to go. We're going to go to the Annapolis City docks, and we are going to beg men to come to Christ. Now, you don't have to go. You can just come and learn in the seminar. But why are we doing it? We're doing it to help train for the mission. And moms and dads, there's no more important schooling and education that you can give to your children once they're in Christ than to train them and equip them for the mission, because that's why they're in Christ, to do the mission. And so I would invite you to bring your children on Saturday. There is a mission. How many of you ever pray, God, just show me your will. Help me to understand your will. You ever pray that? It's a good thing to pray. And have you ever wondered at times why it seems like God just isn't hearing you when you pray? It reminds me of a story of George and Ruth. George, they're an older couple, and George started getting concerned about Ruth's hearing. It seemed like she wasn't hearing well, so he went to the doctor and said, I don't know what to do. I don't want to embarrass her. I don't want to humiliate her. And the doctor said, I got a test for you. Just do this. Go home and stand about 40 feet away and just talk in a normal tone and see if she responds. And if she doesn't, then move to 30 feet. And then if not, move to 20 feet and 10 feet. And that's the way to test it. So he went home and he was standing over in the living room. And about 40 feet away, Ruth was over in the kitchen. So he said, I'm going to do the test. And he says, honey, what's for dinner? No response. So he goes up to 30 feet. Honey, what's for dinner? No response. His heart's really starting to sink. Gets up to 20 feet and, honey, what's for dinner? No response. He gets up to 10 feet. Honey, what's for dinner? No response. And he gets right up behind her back and he says, Ruth, what's for dinner? And she turns around and looks at him and says, George, for the fifth time, chicken. Now, the problem isn't that God's not hearing us. God, show me your will. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. God, show me your will. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. God, show me your will. How many of you gladly and thankfully are able to say that you have been redeemed to Jesus Christ by the blood of the Lamb today? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the mission. Why do so many people not? They're afraid and they feel like they don't know what to do. They feel like they're not trained. We want to combat those things this Saturday. That's what we're doing this Saturday. And I know there's myriads of things to do on a Saturday. And I would never say come because I'm going to be here and you ought to come because I'm here. It has nothing to do with me. But I'm going to say this. It's time to take action. It's time to get trained. It's time to get equipped to go do the work of the gospel. Having said that, let's talk about this passage now. First of all, we're going to talk about being motivated, and then we're going to talk about being called to action. Motivated by future grace, motivated by the harsh reality of judgment, motivated by His love, motivated by those three things, and then called to action, the action of pleading and the action of begging.